Broadcasting from Atlantic City, New Jersey. My name is Janice Malone, and this is mini lesson number 3, Making Reader's Workshop Fun for Teenagers. Today I'm going to read a short story called The Rose, and prediction is going to be the reading skill of the day. But first, I'm going to review the components of a reader's workshop. The basic model for Reader's Workshop is first, the teacher starts class with a read aloud to set a purpose for independent reading time. Second, students read any book they want for 30 minutes or more. Third, when independent reading time is over, the teacher conducts a short discussion based on the purpose he or she set for everyone during the read aloud session. Okay, now you're going to say, today, I am going to read a story called The Rose. Just to let you know, I am going to pause the story after you hear the words low-heeled shoes. And then I'm going to give you some instructions before I read the end. So listen closely while I read The Rose. John Blanchard stood up from the bench, straightened his army uniform, and studied the crowd of people making their way through Grand Central Station. He looked for the girl whose heart he knew, but whose face he didn't, the girl with the rose. His interest in her had begun 13 months before in a Florida library. Taking a book off the shelf, he found himself intrigued, not with the words in the book, but with the notes penciled in the margin. The soft handwriting reflected a thoughtful soul and insightful mind. In the front of the book, he discovered the previous owner's name, Miss Hollis Maynell. With time and effort, he located her address. She lived in New York City. He wrote her a letter introducing himself and inviting her to correspond. The next day, he was shipped overseas for service in World War II. During the next year and 1 month, the two grew to know each other through the mail. Each letter was a seed falling on a fertile heart. A romance was budding. Blanchard requested a photograph, but she refused. She felt that if he really cared, it wouldn't matter what she looked like. When the day finally came for him to return from Europe, they scheduled their first meeting, 7 o'clock p.m. at Grand Central Station in New York. "You'll recognize me," she wrote, "by the red rose I'll be wearing on my lapel." So, at 7 o'clock, he was in the station looking for the girl whose heart he loved, but whose face he'd never seen. A young woman was coming toward him, her figure long and slim. Her blonde hair lay back in curls from her delicate ears. Her eyes were blue as flowers. Her lips and chin had a gentle firmness, and in her pale green suit, she was like springtime come alive. He started toward her, entirely forgetting to notice that she was not wearing a rose. As he moved, a small provocative smile curved her lips. "Going my way, sailor," she murmured. Almost uncontrollably, he made one step closer to her, and then he saw Hollis Maynell. She was standing almost directly behind the girl, a woman well past 40. She had graying hair tucked underneath a worn hat. She was more than plump, and her thick ankled feet were thrust into low-heeled shoes. Well, obviously, John Blanchard has a decision to make here. Does he let this woman who clearly is interested in him get away, or does he keep his appointment with the older woman that he had grown so fond of over the last 13 months? What you're going to do right now is you're going to come up with some kind of an answer that would be satisfying to you and your partner. So take a few minutes to discuss how this story might end or how you might like it to end. Okay, so now you're going to take some guesses from students and then read the end of the story. The girl in the green suit was walking quickly away. He felt as though he were being split in two. So keen was his desire to follow the girl, yet so deep was his longing for the woman whose spirit had truly companioned and upheld his own. And there she stood. Her pale, plump face was gentle and sensible. Her gray eyes had a warm, kindly twinkle. He did not hesitate. His fingers gripped the small, worn blue leather copy of the book that was to identify him to her. This would not be love, but it would be something precious, something perhaps even better than love, a friendship for which he had been and must ever be grateful. He squared his shoulders, saluted, and held out the book to the woman, even though, while he spoke, he felt choked by the bitterness of his disappointment. "I'm Lieutenant John Blanchard, and you must be Miss Maynell. I'm so glad you could meet me. May I take you to dinner?" The woman's face broadened into a tolerant smile. "I don't know what this is about, son," she answered, "but the young lady in the green suit who just went by, she begged me to wear this rose on my coat, and she said if you were to ask me out to dinner, I should tell you that she is waiting for you in the restaurant across the street. She said this was some kind of test." The end. There are several different versions of this story on the internet, so if you'd like to print a copy out, that would be available to you. Now say, while you are reading your own books today, engage the prediction strategy we just used as often as you can. Write down one of your predictions so that you can compare your thoughts with what actually happens. After the silent reading time is over, ask a couple of students to share. Students who predict while reading on a consistent basis are more likely to become lifelong readers. I have found that the Chicken Soup for the Teenage Soul books are great sources for engaging teenagers in read-alouds. If you have any questions about Reader's Workshop, or if you would like to make a request for a future mini-lesson, contact me at janiceannmalone.com.